As Audrey was sharing there, our great grandfather did come from Norway, and he did write a letter in Norwegian. We had to interpret it back into English, but it is, I've taken you before the throne, and I'm confident that God has heard me. And as a young man, I was, I don't know what I was. I was shy, I was aggressive, I was ambitious, I was scared, I was hopeful, I was, but I was a lot of things. And then I thought myself as the black sheep of the family for some reason. I don't know, I felt like I was always, my mom would always have, she'd always go to the prayer meeting, ladies' prayer meetings, and said, would you all pray for John? and I was a good kid in most ways, just had issues. But I had a call in my life, and I didn't really understand all that at a young age, but it was something inside of me. And then it kind of, I kind of separated off a little bit, but the Lord had spoke to me and said, in time, your whole family will be together ministering. I've shared that with a lot, but when I see Audrey and Tyrell and my daughter, and just, it's like he is faithful. He is faithful to keep his word to us. But we're all going to go through a lot of stuff. And then having the privilege of going to about 50 countries in the world and seeing all kinds of things. I saw blind eyes open, a lady in Haiti that was blind all her life. Everybody knew her in the city. They took care of her. Man, she was, her eyes were open, and the whole city just was up in arms and saying, my God, what happened? And to see thousands of people come to the Lord all over the place. So we're going to be doing a baptism today, and I don't know how many people I've been involved with baptism. I realize when I say I've got children, it is confusing, but at the same time, here's what Jesus said. And they came to him, and he said, hey, your family's outside wanting to talk to you. And the house is so packed with people that they couldn't get to him. And he just said, who is my family? And he said, those who love the Lord and serve God, they're my true family. So in all reality, what I'm saying is definitely honest and true. We're family. Not just my family here. And I will say, one of the things that we all know that is decaying in America right now is the breakup of the family. Is families aren't together, and family, there's not, so many kids don't have dads and grandparents, and it has a huge negative impact. But the beautiful thing about the church and the those who believe in God, we are family, and so he is the father to the fatherless by those who, if you have no earthly family supporting you, you have the family of God that's here on earth and the one that's in heaven supporting you. And I think about it, I don't know what it's like, but I imagine all of our relatives up there are looking down, cheering us on. We know some of them, but most of us don't go back very far, but we'll find out that there's 1,000 years ago, there's a part of our family that know God, and they're up in heaven, and now they're cheering us on. And so I had the privilege of seeing people from all over the world come to Christ. I've seen Muslims, I've seen Islamic people, Hindus. One of my trips to Vietnam, I was with a young man named Joseph, and he was going to be my interpreter, and I found out his whole story was just phenomenal, trying to get to America, just had something in his heart to be free, and he ended up getting on a little boat trying to get to a refugee camp, and they got out in the middle of the ocean, and the motor broke down, and the boat was so full, it was about capsizing, and landed onto China, which wasn't really a good thing. Sold all their gold rings to get parts for the boat. And anyway, they ended up to get into the refugee camp, and he hung himself with sheets off the bed because he was so discouraged. And somebody, a guard, just happened to be walking by and find him before his life was gone. And got him back, and it was horrible conditions, and he wasn't somebody who had been in military. He wasn't somebody who was in danger, so to get a visa was not easy for him. Some guy came through and preached the gospel with very little interpreter. I don't know. there was so few words said, and somehow he and a whole bunch of people got born again, radically changed his life. He wanted to go back to Vietnam, and he was, I met him, and I just wept and cried as he told me his story, because here's somebody who knew nothing about Jesus, didn't care to hear about any of that or whatever, just wanted to be free, wanted to be, and has this radical transformation. In fact, the day he said, I will go back to Vietnam, I don't want to go to America, was that afternoon. Everybody that was in that camp got visas to go. He would have left that day. But he said, no, I made my decision. I want to go back to my people. And so I had the privilege of getting to work with him. I said all that to say this. After being all said and done, Lisa and I have been ministering for over 40 years now in Believers Fellowship, and that doesn't seem possible. I remember when I turned 40, I thought that was horrible. And now I've been preaching for 40 years or more. But what I've seen is God has been faithful, and God has, what brings me back all the time to my foundation when I'm challenged, and we all get challenged, we all get doubts, we all get moments where we wonder what's going on. And even though all those miracles I've seen all over the world, they impact me. But you know what really brings me to my foundation is coming back to rural South Dakota, to my farm life, and I look at just the basics of nature and the basics of being a farm boy, and I go, that's why I believe in God. I believe in God because this whole creation speaks about him. It's his handiwork. It describes him, his nature. And really, that's how we came up with the word nature. It came from God's character coming out in what he created. And so the Bible says that if you just look at nature, you'll know that who God is and what he's like. So I want to share with you real briefly about that. We were sharing last week on this, on just being righteousness, the real you, when you're after you're born of the Spirit, the real you is born in righteousness. You're holy, you're perfect. That's hard for us sometimes to really grasp, but when you're all the time, you got to go back to your foundation and build from it. It's so important to have your fundamental beliefs solid, and then you can work through every other disaster in your life and every other victory in your life. You'll find your way if you keep remembering the foundational truths. And the foundational truth is this: the way we should be, that we have been born of the Spirit, and we are perfect, we are righteous. We're the way we should be. I think one of the things that all mankind struggles with is the struggle with who they are. And most of us, I've shared it before, but like Garth Brooks, here's a man who had tremendous success. And I watched him about 10 years ago do a little interview, and he'd already been just so extremely successful. And he was going to do a concert in New York. Nobody had ever done that in downtown. And he got so nervous before he performed, and they were up in a hotel looking out on the square, and his wife, and he was just so afraid that he actually lost his booker because the guy wouldn't do it. He said, no, we shouldn't try this. It's too risky. And he fired him, and so he's going to do this concert that nobody had, done like that. And his wife went up to the window and looked out and said, oh, my gosh. And Garth was sitting there, and he says, you ought to come see it. He says, no, I can't take it. I just can't. He was so afraid nobody'd show up. And I was thinking, why would you care? You got enough money to live out the rest of your life. You had enough fame and all that, and you're still worried about what people think of you. The place was packed, by the way. And I just thought, if Garth Brooks has a little insecurity, why? No wonder I got it. About how we fit and how well we're doing. So one of the most beautiful things that we have in Christ, and here's the deal. When you're in Christ, you have so many benefits. You have so much. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. But many times we don't know how much he's for us. And many times we're not that sure, and many times we just don't realize just how much he cares for us. And we're still trying to measure up and all that. And I want to, and it, you know, and if you don't know about a blessing that's yours, you'll forfeit it. You know, told the story for a long time, but early days, man sold everything he was, just like my grandfather did, sold everything he had to come to America, gets on the ship, hasn't got a few little crackers and some cheese, and he's on the ship, and he meets somebody, and they become friends. And then every day the guy says, you want to go down to, you know, and have dinner? You know, you want to go have breakfast with me? And he kept saying, no, I'm all right. At the end of the trip, he finds out that he thought he had to pay for all those meals, and he didn't have any money. He found out that the ticket paid for it all. And he could have been eating well with everybody else. He didn't know that it was already paid for. And I think about that. How many things are we forfeiting because we don't know about it or don't believe it? Here's the deal. When we believe in Christ, this is why I come back to the foundation. Jesus said this, if you want to be in the family of God and you want to live with me forever, you just have to be born into my family. You got to be family. You got to be family. You're born in the flesh. You're a fleshly kind. You're a man. But now, if you want to be with me, you got to be born of the Spirit. You got to be into my realm, and I'm a spirit. And how do you do that? Well, you know, this is the thing. Here's we got to dedicate a little baby, and you know, as profound as that is, a little truant, he's going to grow up. How many things is he going to experience? How many things you guys are going to experience? I mean, it's just multitudes of things that are going to take place, and feelings and emotions and tears and joy and laughter. All because of what? One little seed found an egg and connected. If that's not mind-blowing, you know, and one guy said, man, you were born a winner because there was millions competing. I know too much about that area. I got to quit. And the same way Jesus said, that's the same way. I created this earth. I gave you an example. Sheep produce sheep. Cows produce cows. I tell this all over the world, but I said, nowhere I've ever gone in the world that I say, you know, well, you know, we had cows, but they produced puppies. If I said that, nobody anywhere in the world would say, you're an idiot. Right? And Jesus just said, here, that's why you have to be born of the Spirit. It's just that simple. There's no other way to become a child of God except to be born from him. It's not, and as miraculous as it is, as powerful as it is, the actual initiation is so simple, you just can't hardly grasp it. You just can't hardly grasp how easy it is to have a kid. And yet how profound it is. And so we come up with all these other rules, but the truth is when we heard the story about Jesus, that he loves us and we believe it in our heart, that there is a God that created everything and wants us in his family, when you hear that simple little message, and like my friend over there in Vietnam, he told me that some Australian came to preach and nobody knew how to interpret hardly anything. I mean, they couldn't have interpreted but a few words, and somehow people who had never heard the story before, a whole bunch in that refugee camp got saved. And then they start praying for each other, and they start getting healed. And the alcoholics were delivered. I mean, they just like, boom, and they didn't know anything about what they're doing. Truett doesn't really understand his digestive system or how he takes in food and how he does all that, but he's already doing a well job of getting rid of toxins. It just comes with it, and it so much just comes with us. But as we grow, as he grows, and as we grow, we're going to understand a little bit more. You have an inside man. The Bible calls this new man an unseen man, a new man, a new self. But it's that which is born from above, and you're a human body. You're in a human body, and you have a soul. But when your spirit takes in the truth, and you say, I believe in Jesus, simple as that is, you become something brand new. And it said, old things have passed away, and new things have come. In a few moments, we're going to be dunking some people in a tank. And it's like, here's the comparison. When you go into the water, you're being swallowed up into Jesus. And Jesus died for us. He paid the price so we wouldn't have to. And so when we go in, we say, my old man is dying. In other words, I'm separating myself from the way I used to, from my old man who had no hope and was so discouraged. And I like to visualize this, that, well, I'll wait on that. I'll just say this. When things get rough, when things get great, just always stick with your foundation. It's real simple. I think the gospel was made, you know, for simple people. I feel great. I mean, I don't, maybe this sounds bad, but I tell you, you meet a lot of phenomenal people, phenomenal preachers, singers, and all that, and it's all great. But I tell you what I love is about the gospel is it was made for simple people living on a farm. They understand it. They're not excluded. In fact, they're the foundation of the whole kingdom of God. It's not about all the talent and ability of us. It's about that simple truth. There's a God that loves us and said, if you believe in my story, and it'll come into your heart, it'll produce a whole new man, and you're going to be the way you should be. And here's the beautiful thing. No matter how bad you're feeling, no matter how horrible you think you're doing, if you have said that one time, you said, I believe in this, you are a new creature, and you don't leave it, you don't, let's just put it this way, it's really hard to screw it up. He saved you. He saved me. And we're going to baptize, I think, 8 people. And so why don't we bring the kids back in? And, Paul said this. He said, man, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. Who's going to deliver me from this? And we all have experienced that, amen? Man, I get up to swing a golf club, and I said, whatever you do, don't slice it. And what do? I slice it, But Paul says, who delivers at the end of that in Romans is this, says, thanks be to God, because Christ did. And that's what you got to remember. You and I may still go through this agony of, why can't I do better than I have? But you got to understand, the foundation is you are righteous. You're the way you should be now. Rest in that. Keep improving. Keep growing. But be rest assured, you're locked in. You're blameless in those eyes, and he is going to see us through all the way to the end. All of us need to take comfort in that, don't we? Because we are pounded from every direction. So if those of you that are going to be baptized will come up, and Rico, if you'd go to the piano. Again, I just want back on an illustration. You know, when something gets impregnated and begins their life, the beautiful thing is that it's like the Bible also said, when you plant a corn seed in the ground, you don't have to go out every day and give an announcement to it. Okay, put your roots down now, kids. All right, put some blades up now. I mean, it knows what to do. We don't even know how it knows what to do. We just go to bed and get up, and it grows a crop. Amen? Well, I tell you, as complicated as life gets, once in a while, just get simple and say, that seed that's inside you is producing a life. You now believe in Jesus, right? And he's inside. He made you a brand new person. Are you coming, Enrich? My son Enrico, we were just reminiscing on some stories, and they had a little house there, and Enrich was, what, 2, 3?
2 years old. Yeah.
2 or 3 years old. And I remember you would let me hold you, and you liked me. At least that's what I presumed. And now to watch you grow up, it's just a beautiful thing to see you such a beautiful woman of God. And I look at you're all my family. We just love you dearly. So you're going to go in the water, and when you go in the water, here's the deal. It's representing the fact that you've been swallowed up into Jesus. He's a big ocean of love. But when you're in that water, then, you know, all of us were born with some darkness and with some bent, you know, just being ornery type stuff inside of us. But when you come up, all that stuff stays in the water, stays in Christ. He forgives you of everything, forgives you of every mistake you're ever going to make, ever. And when you come up and it represents that you died with Christ and now you're going to be risen with him and you're going to live with him forever and you'll never, 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 never die. Your spirit man will be alive forever. I tried to warm the water up. It's a cold July. Who knew? But in some ways, it's kind of fun to have it a little bit cool. Because when you go down, it kind of makes you go, and when you get born again, it's like, something just exploded inside of me. And we promise not to hold you down very long. But we want you to kind of feel like a little panic. I'm kidding. We're going to bring you right up, okay? Don't worry about it. No, nobody's going to drown today. And then when they come up, I mean, that's when all of us just get a hoop and holler, okay? It's a great, awesome thing that we've experienced, becoming the children of God. Amen. Amen.